This is an interview with Bob Huckabee on September the 23rd in Jonesboro, Arkansas. The interviewer is Simon Hoskin. This interview is part of the Brecaro Oral History Project.
It's the 24th, isn't it?
Is it the 24th?
Might be.
Oh, well.
Okay.
24th.
Okay, Mr. Huckabee, let's start. When and where were you born?
I was born in Marshall County, Alabama.
When?
In 1928.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have brothers and sisters?
No, they're both passed away.
Okay, when you were younger?
Yes, I had two sisters.
What did your parents do in...
My father farmed and had a cotton gin and a sawmill. And we called it a grist mill. It was a mill to grind corn, mm-hmm. you know. And that was his until he and my mom got a divorce. And he moved to Arkansas.
To this area? Where in Arkansas?
Lake City.
Okay. And what year was that, do you remember?
Oh, gosh, no, let's see. I was probably six. So six from 80, 76 years ago, 74 years ago.
So that would put us back, 1935?
Yeah, somewhere along in there.
Okay. And your father came here to farm?
Yes, he farmed and also bought another cotton gin in Lake City.
Okay.
And, of course, being divorced, he didn't have a lot of money, so it took him a while to build everything up again. And he finally got a lot of land. I call a lot of land. He had 2,000 or 3,000 acres, you know.
That's a lot of land.
And at that time, it really was. And had two cotton gins, 2.5 cotton gins, and an implement company that sold tractors. I'd come out visiting when I was a kid, live with him through the summer, go back to Alabama and go to school. And eventually I moved out and stayed with him 2 years. That was we're skipping a lot of my kids, you know. I mean, I was back and forth to Alabama. Let's see, 2 years, I guess in 1945, I came back and lived with him a couple of years. Then I moved back to Alabama, finished high school. And I wanted to go to college. My dad was kind of a funny man. He didn't want to help me, so I decided I'd go in service. At that time, they were, you'd go in and they would pay you to go to college when you got out.
So which branch did you go in?
Air Force.
Okay.
Just plain old Air Force. I never got to fly or anything like that. I was in the cryptograph technician. This was code room, you know. Stayed in there until 1949, and I came back to Arkansas. Dad had already started using the Braceros.
Okay.
While I was gone. Now, I don't know exactly what year he started, but I know that he was using them in 1949. He used them 1949, 50, 51, and he passed away. And I started farming, and then I started using them until I stopped farming about 5 or 6 years later.
So you would have stopped farming, what, about 1957, 58?
50, yeah, somewhere along in there, right.
Okay.
We'd go down to Harlingen, Texas, and get them and sign up for them. It was tough on those boys. I look back on it now. We'd go down in an open truck. Had benches for them to sit on. You could put a tarp over it if it rained, and then we'd stop and feed the boys hamburgers, you know. And of course it was only a little over a day, day and a half. We drove straight through. But let me back up. Before that, Dad, during the war, he used German prisoners. And when the war was over, see, they had a PW camp here in Jonesboro. When the war was over, of course, they went home, and then that's when he started using the braceros. I always enjoyed going to Harlingen. I loved it down there. They were the friendliest people I think I ever met in my life. And they're right front, out of Brownsville, Texas. And if I'm not mistaken, it was at an airport. We'd go out and sign for them and then bring them back up here. And I built little cabins for them. It was four men to a cabin. I'd get about, sometimes as much as 30 men. And of course they had places to cook and stuff like that. But it, looking back on it nowadays, they wouldn't allow it.
Right.
You know, we weren't mean to them. I don't mean that at all. We thought they were, you know, it was great. But nowadays it was just, it wouldn't be allowed.
Something that strikes me, and in previous interviews we've heard people tell us that they arranged the braceros through a county agent.
Yeah.
But you were saying that you went directly to Brownsville
right,
to get them.
Right. I went down. I'd get them to come out and what we call chop cotton, you know, thin it, get the weeds out. And then they would go back. And then I'd go back in the fall and pick up boys to come out and harvest the crop. So I made two trips a year down there to get them.
So were you circumventing the county organizations?
No. I felt it was cheaper for me to go do it.
Okay.
I had my own trucks, and you know, I had a Mexican American man that worked for me that took care. I mean, I couldn't even speak Spanish. He took care of all of that, so when I got him back, he took over. More or less, he paid them. He, you know, he took care of everything. I gave him the money. He paid the boys. Let's see. And we used them till I stopped farming. No, I take that back. I bought a cotton picker the year before I stopped farming, and that's when we stopped using them. We didn't have to have them anymore.
When you would go down to Brownsville, would you get the same people each time?
No. We would have liked to, but they took them. It was my understanding it was whoever signed up. It was in line with who signed up, the boys signing up. I never had a problem with taking them back. They were all ready to go back, except one boy. One time, he fell in love with one of the girls on my farm, and he didn't want to go back. Well, I didn't force him to go back. I mean, he was a good man, and never will forget, the Border Patrol came up, you know, a couple of months later, and said, told me what they were up there for. I said, yeah, he's there. And so he came out, and they said, do you owe him any money? I said, yeah. They said, pay him. I did. They took him back, and I never saw him again. It was kind of sad, you know. He found the love of his life, and he couldn't stay. It was sad. But I never had a problem, ever had a problem with them at all. They came up here to work. They worked. They were good people.
Where was the nearest town, city to your farm?
The nearest town?
Town, the big town.
No, Jonesboro was the
Jonesboro,
closest.
So...
Lake City was a little town. You could buy groceries and stuff like that, but Jonesboro was the largest town. Most of the time, those boys, other than to buy groceries and things, they didn't like to spend their money. They came up here to work and make money to take back. It wasn't because they couldn't get to town, because we would have took them to town. They just didn't want to go. They wanted to save their money. You know?
So they didn't send money back on a weekly basis?
Back then, I don't think so. Now, some of them might have. I don't know if they did or not. They surely did, but I don't know.
Right. What about things like food? Did you provide the food? Or did
no,
they
provided the food. Once they got up here and started working, and we started paying them, they bought their own food, cooked their own food, everything. No, we didn't provide food for them.
Do you recall what sort of thing they would buy food-wise? Or
was typical Mexican food. I mean, it was frijoles, you know, and the little flat, what do you call it, bread, you know.
Is it fajita?
Yeah. You know. They cooked their own, and it was strictly a Mexican food. They knew how to buy it and fix it. And they had their little stoves. They had the stoves outside, really, kind of under a shed. But maybe two, three barracks would all cook it on the same place. I say barracks. They were just, like I said, four bed rooms is what they were. But they all got along, and they shared their cooking mm-hmm. stuff. We had cooking utensils and stuff there for them, but they did their own cooking. Now, how they might have paid the cook, I don't know. I don't know. Just like I say, I couldn't speak Spanish, so I don't know what they were talking about half the time.
Did you, or your father or yourself, did you employ African-Americans on the farm as well?
I had one African-American that worked for me, and I sharecropped some ground with him, and you know what a sharecrop is.
Yeah. How much ground did he have? And
he couldn't handle over 10 acres, I guess, would be the most that he could handle. But he was a good man. He lived in one of the little houses that I built for the boys. Huh. He was the only one.
And your father didn't employ any?
No. Actually, we didn't have that many African Americans to work. They didn't live around. There was nothing like this in Jonesboro now. I mean, you very seldom ever saw a Mexican American. I mean, an African. They just wasn't around.
Right, because even though you're still in cotton, I guess you are kind of moving away from uh-huh. the traditional areas that they were in.
Lake City, they might have had three families live in Lake City. It was a little town, about 1,500, 2,000 population. But there was only three families that lived there, and none of them worked for me. Now, they might have worked on a farm, but I don't know if they worked at odd jobs around right. town, you know.
Do you recall how much you used to pay your labor?
Day labor, $5 a day. That was a full day.
We didn't. You say a full day from what, sunrise
to
sunset?
Sun to catch, yeah. Sun up to sun down. Well, yeah, about 50 cents an hour, actually, is what it was. I know because I worked for my dad for that.
Right.
And that's what we paid the boys. And then after Dad passed away, even my tractor drivers, I paid 50 cents an hour. And while I was farming, I raised their wages. And all the other farmers got pretty mad at me about doing it. But we raised it up to, I think, $6 or $7, you know, $25 a week or something like that. They didn't like it too much because I raised the price.
You obviously have a lot of admiration, is a good word for these people that work for you. Were they good pickers?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, they were good workers, good people. Heck yeah, they were as good as I had ever had on my place. White, black, whatever. They were as good as anybody out there. And it, like I said, never had a problem. They came up here to work. They worked. They saved their money. And I'm just sorry I didn't treat them better. Not that I think I mistreated them at the time, but I wished I could have. But no, they were good workers.
If you had been able to treat them better, how would you have treated them better?
Well, I'd give them better living conditions, homes or barracks. I might have bought a barracks and let them all live in a barracks and fixed them a kitchen. But I wasn't raised that way. This is the way Daddy did it. This is the way I do it, you know. You know how that goes.
Yeah. So do you think that mechanization, when it came, you said you bought a mechanical picker.
Yeah.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, I think it was a good thing. Maybe not for the Maceros, but I had to stop farming simply because I couldn't make a living farming, and I farmed 620 acres. That was back before the days of irrigation. We depended on the good Lord to make the rain, you know. And there was years that I almost lost my land. I mean, I quit then I sold my land, paid my bills, and went to California. I'm telling you the truth.
That's exactly what happened.
But I did buy the cotton picker and a mechanical, a large bean harvester. I mean, I was one of the first ones to buy both of those. And had we had irrigation, you know, we could have made it, but the banks laugh at you when you ask Bunny to irrigate. They thought it was funny. And now you don't farm without water, you know. But that's history.
Let me ask, and this is an open question, I suppose. Give me one perhaps funny incident or an incident that really stands out in your memory in your dealings with the Braceros in a positive way and one in a negative way.
Well, the young man falling in love, I remember that well. I admired him, I admired her, she was a good looking girl, boy. And a big old tears running down her eyes and his too when they pulled him away. I remember that, you know. And I got no bad thoughts about them. They did nothing wrong. They did what they came up here to do, and that was it. I had American, Spanish-American people living on my place at the time. I had four or five families. And they were the same way. They were very nice people, good people. And these boys kind of intermingled with them. You know, they got to know them. And, maybe I was fortunate that I did have those people living on my place. Some of the other people didn't have, and I don't think they got along as well with their boys. I don't know that, but I know that. I never had a problem with them at all. I have no bad thoughts about them. They were always good boys.
These people that were already living on your land, mm-hmm. were they working for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So they would have been legal,
yeah.
Permanent legal residents?
Yeah, they lived there all the time. They moved there while my dad was still living, and they stayed until I left.
Was that common for farms in this area?
No.
No?
I don't know how he came about getting those people out here, unless it was Mr. Kuehler, Lewis Kuehler. He was the guy that I was talking about that took care of my Braceros.
Mm-hmm.
He came up from Texas, and unless he brought those families up with him, I don't know. Like I said, I was in service. I don't know how that came about. but they, when I got back out of service, they was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 families on the farm.
And they worked for your father?
Mm-hmm. All of them worked for my dad.
As wage earners or cropping or tenanting?
No, wage.
As wage earners. Mm-hmm. And what sort of thing would they be doing?
Oh, they'd do the same thing that the Braceros did. Okay. Pick cotton, chop cotton. Of course, Dad and I would give them jobs any time we could that had nothing to do with agriculture. I'd be like cutting fence poles and stuff like that, so they'd have money coming in, you know, at slack times. Of course, they got their home free. They lived on the farm. They had a garden, that we let them have a garden. And if they worked it right, they could get by pretty good without, and they could, if they wanted to raise a pig or calf or whatever, a goat or whatever they wanted to raise, they could do it. We let them have a little pen for them, you know. So they, like I said, we tried to keep a job for them, but sometimes they couldn't, but they never went hungry. You know, they had. In fact, there's one family that lived on my place still lives in Lake City. I don't think the mother and dad don't, but the kids do. I think they live in just out of Lake City. Kurt knows where they live. I don't. My son Curtis.
Uh huh. And what is it Curtis does? Is he
Kurt?
Kurt, I'm sorry.
He's a lawyer in Lake City.
Okay.
Kurt Huckabee.
Aha. I'm sorry.
Also the coach for rugby. He's the one that gave somebody my name.
He used to work at... Oh, no. There was a chap... There's a guy at A-State by the name of Huckabee.
Really?
Used to work in financial aid or something. And he played rugby.
It might have been my grandson.
Matt Huckabee?
Matt, yeah.
That's your grandson?
Yeah.
I know Matt.
Yeah.
He coaches the rugby team.
Yeah. He's my grandson, and then I had another one, Curtis, played rugby, and he's my grandson. This last year was his last year playing.
Huh.
Yeah. And then my son has always coached. He's the one that brought rugby to ASU.
A small world.
Yeah.
Sorry. So you're saying you think there's still a family living in Lake City?
In fact, I saw him at a restaurant three or four months ago, that one of the boys, that, of course, then was a young man, very young man. I keep forgetting I'm 80 years old. But, my son could tell you more or less how to get in touch with him. If you wanted to talk to him, he speaks good English. And, you know, nice family. The family was real. And they used to cook for us once in a while. They would have Mexican food, and they'd come over and cook and all that.
We'd love to talk to them if it's convenient.
Let me give you Kurt's number, and you can call him.
Thank you, my son.
I think I got his card in here someplace. Yeah.
Thank you. Very much. So I guess as a boy, when you're coming up from Alabama, your dad's dealing with the Braceros, are you mixing in with them more as an equal, as a friend?
I did. I mean, I always felt they were equal to me, you know. I just had it a little better. I was lucky, you know. That's the way I felt about it. I've never looked down on people. That's not my way.
So what took you to California? Why?
I went broke farming.
Okay.
And I moved to California. And
what did you do in California?
I cleaned swimming pools for a while. And then I got a job selling seed in Salinas for a friend of mine. Never sold anything in my life. Worked at that 4 or 5 years, and went to a larger company, Eventually, I got enough money and I started my own company. And it worked out great. I mean, we sold a lot of seed. And they made enough at, when I was 65, I retired. No, when I was 70, excuse me, I was 70. And I went out there, I was broke. I mean, broke. But I enjoyed it. I love California. I wouldn't live there now. It's changed. I went back, Kurt, my son, and I went back out last year. And it's not the same. It's just changed. It's dirty, it's cleanest, just trash everywhere. And it used to be a clean little town, and it just made me sick when I went through there. I said, no, this is not for me. I was kind of wanting to go back until I went out, and then now I'm glad I'm here. Sold my home. My wife and I got a divorce after 25 years. And I sold my home. Of course, we split it up, and I came back here and bought this. That's why I'm back here. Of course, my son and my daughter are back here.
And your son's a lawyer.
Yeah.
What does your daughter do?
My daughter is works for the Red Cross.
Okay.
In fact, she was on TV the night before last. It was asking for blood, you know. But I'm glad I came back. All my grandkids are here, all of them except one. This is where I need to be. Dad died when he was 42. And my mother died when she was 46. And my two sisters died when they were, one was in 50, 51, the other one was 54. So they're all gone. I'm the only old man left, you know. But just getting back to the Braceros, I wished I could tell you more. I might answer questions, but I just thinking off the top of my head, I don't know what else to tell you, really.
Well, you've been very kind.
Can I ask them?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is Mireya Loza. You had said earlier that you had a Mexican-American managing them, right?
Uh-huh.
Where did this Mexican-American come from? You said Texas?
I think it came out of Texas, yeah. Mm-hmm. His name was Louis Kuehler. Mm-hmm. And when I stopped farming, they moved to California. And as far as I know, they're still out. Well, I'm sure he's dead by now, but he had two sons and two daughters. And they were living in down in Southern California.
How did your father find him?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. When I came to visit him one time, Louis was here. And then they started, he was bringing other people out. I guess Dad was down there looking for people to come up and work.
You also said that there were Spanish-American families on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Where were they from? In the U.S.?
Yeah, from Texas.
Texas? They were Tejano?
Yeah.
And these families, you said that they interacted with the Braceros? They worked alongside them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while they were working alongside them, they were also living in the same vicinities?
In the same vicinity, yeah. Yeah, not in the same houses, but the people that lived on my place had their own houses, and the Braceros had theirs, and they were all together. I mean, the Braceros' houses were kind of all together, and the others were scattered all over the farm.
Mm-hmm. Except for the African-American, right, who lived...
He had one of those little shacks.
How did the Braceros get along with him?
There was no problem. Never had a problem with him.
No?
No.
Did they talk to him?
Oh, sure. Yeah. In fact, I had a family that came up with my dad from Alabama, and you know, Alabama's south, you know. And he and this black guy got along great. I mean, it's funny. I guess how I was raised. And there where I live, was born and raised in Alabama, we were never taught that anything bad about the black people. I mean, my mother was very sick a lot. We had a black lady that cooked for us, and I called her Aunt Nancy. And I just loved that old woman. She'd pick when I was just a kid. I remember it though, a little boy. She'd pick me up and get me up in her lap, and, you know, make me a pie. And you know, how can you not like somebody like that? And I think everybody out there, we all got along. It was just a big family. I don't ever remember anybody having any bad words about anybody on the place. Always hated to take them back, the braceros. I hated to take them back to spring and go back and not get the same ones, you know, in the fall.
At any point, did any officials from the Mexican government come and inspect your home, your property?
No. In fact, the only time any government official was on my place was the Border Patrol when they came to get the boy that stayed over. That's the only time I ever knew of anybody coming up there.
Where did you meet this girl?
There on the farm. She lived there on my place.
Was she Tejana?
She what?
Was she from Texas or was she?
Yeah.
She's one of the Mexican families from Texas?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good looking girl. Cute boy. Yeah. She could really pick cotton, I know that. Mm-hmm. Boy, those people could pick cotton.
Would they pick more than most people?
Oh, yeah. I had a girl, a Mexican girl, Mexican-American girl, lived there on the place, that I always wanted. Used to have a cotton-picking contest in Blytheville. And I always wanted to enter it because she could pick 400 or 500 pounds of cotton a day. And I'm going to tell you something, that's picking cotton. I mean, I've tried maybe 100 pounds for me, but that woman, her hand is just flying all the time, you know. She was something else.
Did she pick more than the men?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. She could just pick off and leave. She taught Curtis, my son, she taught him how to pick cotton, you know. Yeah.
During the time period where the braceros were living in those houses, what would happen if they would get sick or needed?
Well, we'd get them a doctor. We'd have a doctor, take them to the doctor is what we'd do. I never had a problem with that. I don't remember having a problem, but we would have taken them to a doctor. But they had no way to go, so we would have taken them.
Mm-hmm. Who would drive them into town?
Who would drive them to town? Lewis Kuehler. Mm-hmm. He had his own truck. Mm-hmm. And of course, I paid him, and he would pay the boys. And then I'd pay him extra for taking care of all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But he had his own truck that he hauled and took them into town, wherever they were needed to go.
Did the town, did all of the town's business establishments provide them services?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were glad to see him. I mean, they spend their money there, you know, what little they spend. But nobody in town. Well, I guess everybody in town liked it. They wanted them here. They knew it. We had to have them. Like I said, during World War II, Dad used the prisoners. He had to have somebody. And I've hauled those boys. Boy, they didn't work. You know, they were just out there. But what little they did helped, I guess.
When you guys used German prisoners, would you have to pay them the same thing as everybody else?
Yeah, I think you only paid them $1 a day or something like that, and furnished them food and stuff for lunch. But no, we didn't pay them. They didn't do a day's work. They didn't ever get out of prison what they was on. They were nice guys. Never had a problem with them. They just wouldn't work.
How did the braceros know how to pick cotton? Did you have to teach them?
Most of them knew how. But the one that didn't, Mr. Kuehler would take care of. But They've never had a problem. They knew how to pick cotton. I guess they did it in Mexico. I don't know, or in Texas. I don't know.
What did they do when they weren't working?
What did they do when they weren't working?
Did they play sports or go to dances?
Well, they tell you the truth. The guys worked 6 days a week when they could, when the weather was right. And then Sundays they washed their clothes and, you know, did the things around that needed to be done and rested. And Monday morning they were ready to go back to work again. Not that my orders, that's the way they did it, you know, to make money. I mean, they, like I said, they came up here to make money. And at that time, I guess it was good money, you know, for the people in Mexico. Well, it was good money here. We paid them the same thing we paid the people on the place there.
Did they ever have any places to, I guess, go out and enjoy themselves, like movie theaters or dances?
I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so. I don't ever remember them wanting to go to a restaurant or, you know, movies. No. I think they more or less wanted to save their money.
Did your father ever talk to you about anything, any news he had heard about these men prior to them coming here? How did your father know that the program had started?
Well, Dad was a pretty big wheel here in Craighead County. I mean, he, you know, obviously had a lot of land, and he... And they would keep him informed on how to, even like the German prisoners, he was one of the first to do it. Of course, he had inside information on it, and I think the people here in Craighead County kept him informed on that, how to go about doing it. And, I mean, it had to be. I know he didn't have anybody in Texas telling him about it, or Mexico. Everybody knew about it. It had either come out in the paper, how to go about it or what, but it was no secret. Anybody could get them if they wanted to go down there and get them and bring them up and take care of them. Few farmers did, some didn't. When we got them, that would relieve a little bit of labor to help the guys that didn't get them. You know, it kind of worked all the way around. They'd come to help us, what little labor we had would go help the next guy, and it worked out pretty good.
In all of that time that they were here, did you think that the local people got curious about where these men came from or wanted to interact with them?
No. They knew they came from Mexico, that's all. That's all they knew, and that's all they cared. They really didn't care. They were helping us out, so. No, they didn't care.
Just thank you for your time.
Hey.
It's much appreciated.
I hope I could have helped.
Definitely. Well, let me ask my final question. I mean, do you think that, in your eyes, was the Bracero program a positive or a negative program?
Oh, it was very positive. Very positive. Had we not got the machines to do our work, the farmers nowadays, we'd have to have them. It's just like Salinas Valley. They've got to have those boys out there to help them. They don't have enough labor there to do it. They don't have the machines to cut the lettuce and the broccoli, and you know. And it'd be the same way here. We're lucky we got machines that'll do it. But if we didn't, they would have to be here. Or somebody would have to come in here and help us. And I'm sure it would be for sure.
Thank you very much.